This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
Let's talk about another case. A six-year-old brought a gun to class. Four different adults sounded alarms. The assistant principal told them the kid's pockets were too small. Couldn't possibly have a gun. Hours later, teacher Abby Zwerner was bleeding in the hallway floor. After four teachers said, I think this kid has a gun. The bullet came from a child's hand, a six-year-old, and the failure from the adults who did not listen. Eric Faddis, defense attorney, former prosecutor with us to break this insanity down. Let's start with what made this case different. The shooter was a first grader. In your experience, how does a victim's attorney even build a negligence case when the perpetrator is too young to form criminal intent and the real blame actually sits on adults?
Yeah, that's the thing and many states have age floors such that if the wrongdoer, the tortfeasor or whatever, is under a certain age, you can't sue that person. And six, I've never heard of any state allowing suit against a six-year-old. So you have to look at who else was responsible. What other parties might be culpable for this kind of an event? And so they looked towards the school administrator. My understanding is they actually tried to loop in the school board, who was ultimately, I think, dismissed from the civil case. So they're trying to get creative. And this is yet another bizarre wrinkle to the school shooting, you know, pandemic that we have in our country. And yet another problem that we have to try to solve as part of this larger problem.
This seems like a simple one. Don't be a dumbass. I mean, if somebody is telling you there is a child, they have a gun. We think they have a gun. Maybe they have a gun. We're not quite sure. There's something questionable that child has. But the school didn't act. And I also question this. And I'm not blaming the teachers who did what they were supposed to do. They had to go to the vice principal and say, okay, we think this. What on earth is going on in our country where if you're the teacher and you think the child has a gun, that you can't be the first one to go check out that bag? That somehow that child's rights supersede you going and saying, let me see your bag. This is where we live right now, where a teacher is in fear of repercussions towards them for acting in a manner that could protect not only that child, but all the other kids around and themselves, because there could be repercussions. Well, you might be violating their rights. You might be doing this. You might be doing this. This is insane. I mean, it's adults running around in fear of the rights of a six-year-old who might have a fucking gun? I mean, what planet did this become normal on, and how the hell did we get here?
You know, there is sometimes a departure between constitutional jurisprudence and common sense, you know, because what we have here is I think perhaps the concern by the teacher was that the child does have a Fourth Amendment right. It is less of a Fourth Amendment right against unreasonable searches and seizures than they would have outside of the school. They have less rights, but still some rights. And the school, if it's a public school, then they're state actors. And so they're kind of thinking to themselves, perhaps, hey, I don't want to violate this kid's Fourth Amendment rights and then be stuck with a lawsuit. But gosh, you got to weigh the potential evils here. And the other evil is that somebody gets shot in a school, which is happening with alarming frequency increasingly. So that there is sort of a tension between, hey, we want to make sure we're protecting rights. But then again, what about this common sense piece? What about this emerging problem in society? Should the Constitution and its jurisprudence kind of catch up to that? I think is a question a lot of people are asking.
If we go into a concert, if you go into any sort of busy place, they will check your bag. I can't go, you're violating my Fourth Amendment rights. You can't check my bag. You just have to trust me that everything's going to be A-OK. Why on earth? How is this not applicable in a school setting?
So I think the distinction that the school would say exists is that, you know, at a concert, you're talking about private entities, private individuals, and you don't, no one has a Fourth Amendment right against private individuals trying to search your shit, but you do have a right against public entities trying to search your stuff. So in the school context, the Fourth Amendment applies, whereas at a private concert with private entities, it doesn't. I'm not saying that that's how it should be. I'm saying that that's how, current jurisprudence is laid out. And even though those students have a diminished right in against searches and seizures, there are still some rights there. But should we be empowering teachers to be able to take direct action on a serious lethal threat that could be imminent? I mean, I think the answer is of course. And so we've got to sort of make some legal changes to authorize that.
Well, and one of the things that they said, and I did some research on this, the district said that being shot isn't a normal teaching risk. I would like to argue that because
it isn't.
344 shootings since Columbine, that pushes that into the level of it is a risk. It's something that we've been seeing. It's a, I'm not going to call it a trend, but I'm going to say that, well, it's more than one. So it's a possibility. Yep, you're saying there's a chance? You're damn right there's a chance.
Yeah. No, Stacey, I'm totally with you because, and I think if you ask nearly any actual teacher, one of my best friends, Joey Cohen, is a teacher, and you better believe that that goes through his head.
Damn right.
Regularly. And so to say that this isn't sort of a normal work hazard of being a teacher, I think, is detached from the reality of this. I will call it an emerging trend in school shootings that we're seeing. Okay. And yeah, like the last 24 said, maybe in the 80s it might have been different, but 2025, right, this is the reality.
Well, how did we go from we're going to be really vigilant, we're going to keep all the kids safe, to, well, you all have these rights and we don't want to hurt your feelings? Or, I mean, it's insane. After Columbine, I was a senior when Columbine happened. I know you're a few years younger than me, Eric, but you would have been in school too when that was going on. Yeah. So you lived through being in the education system for many of the years after that. I got the fuck out, thank God. But it was disturbing. But we didn't care. Nobody thought, well, my rights are being violated, they're going to check my backpack. But they started checking everybody's backpack. You walked in the building, it was like walking into an airport for a little while where they're checking shit. And it was just the norm. Nobody was like, well, my rights are being violated. What the hell changed where this was just common sense, where, yeah, we're going to make sure that this stuff is being checked so nobody gets hurt. No harm, no foul. But we're now at a place where we can't even look in a first grader's backpack to make sure there's nothing dangerous in there. I mean, that basically says right now, my daughter going off to school, all these kids come in with their backpacks. Teachers have no right to look in them no matter what, even when they suspect there might be something there that's dangerous because it might violate their Fourth Amendment right?
You know, I hear you, Tony, for sure. And the way that I would sort of suggest is the Fourth Amendment protects against, it doesn't protect against all searches and seizures, just seizures that are unreasonable.
Right.
And my God, isn't it reasonable if you've received warnings that this kid might have a firearm and there's all these school shootings happening to go in and search that kid's backpack? I think it's absolutely reasonable. And even if the school district has certain policies and procedures in place, there should be exceptions that allow them to deviate from those in the event of an emergent potential situation like this. So I don't think there would have been anything legally wrong with the teacher searching the bag. I understand they were trying to adhere to protocol, but sometimes you got to adhere to common sense.
Well, this is a time where that actually failed. So if they were saying, well, we were trying to, you know, preserve the child's rights, well, you fucked up. I'm just going to say that. And this teacher is probably sitting there going, well, you know what? I give up. So at some point, we've got to come into the middle that, you know what? Tommy, we think has a gun. We're going to pull him out, take him to the counselor's office, not make a scene, not embarrass him, but we're going to check out this perceived threat and see what's going on. we need to get back to this point where we're protecting other people. I'm sorry. I'm just on a rant. I'm getting mad. I'm getting really pissed.
We sit and we wonder, well, why is it hard to get teachers? Why do we have bad teachers?
We're not protecting them.
And there's plenty of wonderful teachers, but when you create an environment for healthy, intelligent adults, that is going to be insanely risky, that is not going to work with them to help educate the children. It's going to work against them at every turn they take. You're going to end up with bottom of the barrel folks applying to be teachers, and the
good
ones.
You're going to be safer work, Tony. You're going to be safer working at a Starbucks drive-through taking latte orders than teaching our next generation of kids
and making more money. Yeah,
correct.
And that's the sad reality of our education system. Again, something we do nothing to fix in this country, a glaring red problem, and we're just like, well. Oh, those teachers. Like, no, that administration. Because 99% of these problems start with the administration operating out of fear of being sued. But maybe that's part of it, too. I mean, and there are plenty of times to sue a school district. There certainly are. But but we also then get to the point where we're just solely operating on fear of lawsuits and not fear of children being killed.
Right.
And we're just not going to take the appropriate actions and hope that everything turns out good at the end of the day. And that seems to be how this went in this case.
Yeah, totally. And to Gen Z 367's comment, you know, being a teacher is so difficult at this point, you know, that they're constantly being scrutinized and ridiculed and condemned. And there are these parameters set on how they can even instruct their given discipline. You know, and on top of that, think about is to teach anybody anything. I'm trying to teach my brother how to change something on my car, and he's an adult with a master's degree. That's hard as heck. Think about teaching a bunch of teenagers ancient history or something. And so they have a hard enough job as it is, and now they have to deal with a lethal threat to their lives and perhaps being handcuffed in their ability to respond to it. Big problem.
They are. And that's the insanity of it. It is such a broken system. And that's why it's getting harder and harder to find good teachers out there. And the good ones have a lot of them have left. There's still several standing. But, you know, there's very few. I'm in my early 40s, and I can tell you, of all the people I knew from high school that, you know, went in, you know, just like this woman did here, you know, who went in and got shot. They you go in rosy eyes, you know, wanting to do the right thing. Thank God we have people who are willing to be teachers and put up with children and have the patience to put up with these children and the horrible parents that are out there of these children and deal with those repercussions and still try to provide guidance. Thank God they exist. But at some point, there is a breaking point for every one of them. And I can say I probably 80 to 90% of the people I grew up with, again, I'm only in my early 40s, have left teaching because of shit like this, because the administrations are not using any sort of common sense, because it is so set up basically to operate out of fear and to not truly educate the kid and to make sure that they get certain scores in certain places so they get their funding. And I get it. You need your funding. But I mean, that there's so many things messed up. I could go on and on and on about how broken our system is, where, I mean, especially with funding, like, okay, well, you have the worst scores. Let's give you the least funding. Maybe that should be a sign they need more funding because they need help, not less help. But that's how our system works. The schools that have the best scores that end up having the best teachers because they have the best pay end up getting tons of resources and tons of money. And the schools that are struggling, it's like, oh, you're down. Let's keep kicking you. That's how the United States education system works. That's why we're in the problem we're in today. That's why we have the young adults that we have today. Poor decision makers, because this is the system they came up in, the system that fostered it. This is not a broken system. This is how the system is designed to work right now. It's our job to say, this is broken. We need to change it. It is currently working as designed. And that, I think, is something nobody wants to accept, because it takes some courage. It takes work. It takes effort. It takes energy to change something as difficult as this whole thing is.
Yeah, most definitely. And I think, you know, funding is a huge issue. I think sometimes even political overreach in education on both sides can be a problem. I think some of those ideologies can sort of try to be infused into curriculums and into resources that students have and may no longer have. It can result in the students being less accommodated, having a slanted view on certain issues. And sometimes when there is not enough support for these students, especially those dealing with issues due to funding, due to politics, due to whatever reason, that contributes as well to the problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's an endless cycle, and it's like, okay, well, we fix this, but we got to fix, look at our conversation. It's like, yeah, well, if we did this, you still got this over here and this, and then it just becomes, you know, and at the end of the day, what do you do? And then, you know, and we're paying our teachers unbelievably low wages. I mean, shockingly low wages. I've seen some of the entry level salaries just around here. We're talking like 19,000 on some positions.
Again, Starbucks work in the drive-thru. I'm not dissing Starbucks drive-thru.
That's like you make more panhandling outside of Starbucks, probably.
Yeah.
Honest to God. And then we want to entrust you with the well-being of our young people. And it's not to say that somebody, you know, very well-intentioned that money, I'll live in poverty because I believe in what I'm doing. Yeah, they will for so long. Mm-hmm. But then even, you know, you've been there a long time and you get up around the scale and you're still not high. You're still not in many districts.
New people that are taking over the senior people's salary. Yeah. It's repulsive.
Broken. It is so broken. It is so repulsive. And again, everyone is living in fear in every school district. Every person who has a job, they are living in fear of doing it wrong. And then they end up making the wrong choices because of that fear that they're living in. I experienced it just the other week where I got a call from my school saying, hey, we found this out. Your daughter reported this. And just to let you know, we let these other parents know what she found out. And that's it. Like, you're a mandatory reporter. Correct me if I'm wrong. Yes, I am. So what does that mean? Well, it means we have to report and you're calling the parents? Yes, we're just going to do that.
That's not reporting.
I'm sorry. Let's back up for a moment here. Mandatory reporter. What does that actually mean? What does it mean? And are you going to call? Well, we normally, I blame and I don't blame people for those sort of decisions because there's a reason that there's a hesitancy to report certain things. Typically because something the administration said to them, because they don't want that bad mark on them. They don't want that bad PR. They don't want to be looked at as this. They don't want to be looked at as that. And that's how you get this fucking cycle that goes on forever. Look at the Devil's Den case. I mean, look at how they basically shuffle teachers around in so many districts like they do Catholic priests that molest kids. I mean, it's so freaking broken. It's insane. And it's an icky subject, so people don't like to talk about it either. But we did, and I'm glad we saved the world today. And,
I was going to say, did we fix anything?
No, but hopefully we opened up some people's eyes that didn't realize just how broken this shit show is. Eric Faddis, as always, thank you for coming on. Defense attorney, former prosecutor, Varner Faddis Law in Denver. Thank you so much for coming on, as always, Eric.
Great to be with you.
All right. Until next time, for Eric, Stacey, and Todd, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.